And today we're going to talk really quickly. I've got a one-hour presentation for you, but I'm going to do it in 15 minutes, okay? So you know I'm going to talk fast, or I'm going to have to just kind of brush the surface, which is what we're going to do. And I'm going to ask you to participate. I know you're still eating, but if you have a great answer for me, I would like to hear it. And the first thing we're going to talk about is fat, and not just any fat. And I already see heads nodding, and that means that you are an educated group. Are there good fats and bad fats?
Yes.
All right. And are there saturated fats and trans fats?
Yes.
Are those two in the good fat or the bad fat category? Yes. All right. We are halfway there. This is a pat of butter. It's a very large pat of butter now, isn't it? But the reason I show you this pat of butter is to exemplify something. We have all heard the studies that show that fat in our diet is contributed to heart disease. There are also studies that show that there is genetic predisposition to heart disease. But if we pay attention and make some changes to what we eat, we can control some of that heart disease and high cholesterol. Give me an example, if you will, of a bad fat. Not just the word trans fat, but a real example. Yes, in the back. Lard. Good answer. I haven't heard that one in a long time. Anything else? Partially hydrogenated oil. Are you a label reader? Yes, she's a label reader. That is right. Do you know what a partially hydrogenated oil is anyway? Let me tell you what it is. It is a gram of fat from one of the good fats, which are, throw some out to me, good fats, olive oil, canola oil, avocado, fish. Salmon has the best content of good fats. Walnuts, almonds, you are correct. Let's go back to those oils. Those oils are good fats, but they get heated up, and they go through a process, they become a bad fat. Question? Grapeseed oil. And as long as you keep your grapeseed oil or any of the other oils below 150 degrees, it remains a good fat. That means, ladies, unfortunately, that the Golden Arches, who are bragging that they have trans fat-free fries, aren't telling the whole truth. You see, they're starting out with good canola oil. Then they pour it in the big pot, and they turn up the heat in order to fry your fries at, what, 350? And so guess what comes out? Trans fat-laden fries. Now, I'm not sure how they get around that, but they're doing that. I just wanted to let you know. So talking about bad fats, what's wrong with a bad fat? If I were to eat, if this were 1 gram of fat, a bad fat, let's say, your body normally can break down about 75% of that gram of fat, okay? So that leaves you a quarter of a gram of bad fat, sticky fat that hardens, which isn't a big deal. It doesn't sound like it until we take that in day after day, month after month, year after year. Our little 25% of our bad, hard, sticky fat, you know, it wouldn't be so bad if it just stuck right here, would it? It sticks on the inside, doesn't it, into our arteries. And that's why they are suggesting to us to eliminate, remove, reduce the bad fats. And so that's the first tip of the day, the first building block to a healthy, better lifestyle is to replace your bad fats with a good fat. And we talked about some bad ones. Margarine, good or bad? Good, you guys are great. You're right, it is. It was a good fat, heated it up to make it solid and spreadable and last on the shelf longer, and it became a bad fat. In fact, there was a Margarine Act passed in 1885. Did you know that? Congress passed a Margarine Act? Yes, they did. And then in the next 15 years, there were 30 companies producing margarine. And in the next 100 years, heart disease was the number one killer of Americans every year but one. And that year was 1918, when there was a flu epidemic. So, replace your bad fats with good fats. There's a great product out there called Smart Balance, or any of the, if you don't like hard butter, look in your refrigerator section for trans fat-free margarine. Okay, building block number two, guess what this might be? Red meat, protein. Protein, and not just any protein. We have lean protein, and then we have the other proteins. How about some examples of some lean proteins? Did I hear chicken? Usually when we hear lean protein, we think of boneless, skinless chicken breast. That's right. And it is a good source of lean protein. You can get it in the mega bags, and you can cook up a few of them a couple of times a week, and you have them at your disposal whenever you need a little bite to eat. What's some other examples of lean protein? Fish, again, and if you're doing a salmon, you've got your good fats going on in the salmon. Whitefish, I heard. Did you know pork loin? Pork has become pretty lean today. So pork loin is another one. What if you're vegetarian? Any vegetarians in the house today? Oh, a couple of them. I won't leave you out, ladies. You probably already know all about combining foods for a complete protein. Is that right? You can combine some lentils or legumes. I've got some split peas up here with a whole grain, and you've got a complete protein. There's a whole regimen in the soy, under the soy umbrella, that you can get soy powdered. Tofu, you'd have to ask my kids. I introduced tofu to them when they were about 10 and 13. Can you imagine the response I got? It got to the point where they said, Mom, is this chicken or tofu? I said, you know, if you can't tell, it doesn't really matter now, does it? Yeah, we've been all over the place with our food in our household. But protein. Here's some. Now, why would we eat protein? Well, because we know it's good for us. But how often should we eat it? How many of you had protein for breakfast this morning? Okay. About maybe half of you. Why is protein important at breakfast? Well, let me tell you why. Studies show that people who regularly have protein for breakfast, and we're talking a small amount, maybe the size of the palm of your hand, and that's why I so like the boneless, skinless chicken breast. Cook it up, and I've always got something there on hand. Studies show that if you have protein for breakfast in the morning, you are less likely to have sugar cravings throughout the day. Most people will avoid the 3 o'clock crash and burn that sends you headed for the coffee pot and the cookie bag. And the third thing is people are able to manage their weight better when they eat protein for breakfast. I think those are three very good ideas to have a little protein for breakfast. My favorite breakfast, do you want to know what my favorite breakfast is? My husband thinks I'm crazy. He still is a Raisin Bran person. But I have a whole wheat tortilla, a little bit of chicken breast chopped up in there, and either some hummus or a little bit of cheese or avocado. It's a great breakfast. It holds you till lunchtime. Cottage cheese is another source of a good protein for breakfast. Who can tell me the ingredients in a cake? Anybody? Flour, sugar, eggs, baking soda, leavening, some sort of fat, right? Okay, so let's review this. We had flour and sugar and some sort of leavening and some sort of fat and maybe a spice or two. Who can tell me the ingredients in these? Sugar, flour, fat, some sort of leavening agent. How many of you good moms served your children before school a piece of cake? I knew you didn't. But how many of us have had a donut for breakfast? Now, we just agreed that they are the same, they have the same ingredients. We wouldn't serve cake for breakfast, but we eat donuts for breakfast. So all I'm doing, ladies, I'd like you to just think a little bit beyond what you do as a habit. and really make a conscientious effort about what it is you're eating and when you're eating it. Two blocks down, one to go. The last one would be, who can guess? Carbs. And what kind of carbs do we have? There's two words I'm looking for. Simple and complex. Sounds kind of complicated if you ask me, but it's not really. Complex carbs are this. When you eat them, they are pretty much in the same state that they were grown, that God created them. In fact, let's talk about a grain of wheat. What color is wheat? Kind of brown, tannish, golden color. And we know we get flour from wheat, right? What color is the flour in that bag? Now, isn't that interesting? We have brown flour and white, or brown wheat and white flour. Now, how does that happen? You all know. Bleach. Well, what? That's actually the last step. The first step is they take that nice, healthy, balanced grain of wheat, and they separate the bran from the germ. Now, the germ has that good fat we were talking about. The bran has fiber. Then they heat it up. Of course, they have to sanitize it. When they do that, they destroy vitamins, because vitamins also break down at about 140, 150 degrees. And then what they end up with is kind of an off-white flour. Well, somehow, in the last 40 or 50 years, we think we need everything sterile and white, so they bleach it, and we have a white flour in which they add more vitamins back to it. And then also, you have to go out and buy fiber supplements, because now there's no fiber in your whole grain products. So they take a complex carb, put it through a complicated process, and end up with a simple carb. When really, if we do a little bit of homework and a little bit of pre-thinking, we can search for whole wheat or whole grain breads. You can get whole grain pastas now. How many of you have seen whole grain just about anything in the store? Whole grain pasta takes a little longer to cook. The rice pilaf, or whatever that was that we had today, perfect example, had a little bit of lentil in there or something. Takes about 40 minutes to cook instead of 20 for the white. But it's so much better for you. Fruits and vegetables, what's better, frozen or fresh? Fresh. What's better, frozen or canned? I'd like to suggest to you that fresh is best, followed by frozen. And then if you need to have a vegetable that's canned, don't try to get any nutrients out of it, because they're kind of gone. How many of you ever done any canning at home? How long did you have to boil those quarts in there? Quite a while, yes. And you know, and we do that, and the food manufacturers process and heat the cans for our safety, so they can kill any microorganisms in there. But in the process, they do destroy the vitamins. So in the simplest terms, good health, you can start to get onto a journey of good health one block at a time. You can choose to replace bad fats, good fats. You can choose to find ways to have some lean protein 3 times a day, if you can. A couple of snacks in the middle. You know what my favorite 3 o'clock snack is? And if I don't fix it in the morning, I'm on the prowl in the kitchen about 3 or 3:30. I cut up an apple into quarters. I throw some almonds in a baggie, and I put the whole thing in the fridge. And then come 3 o'clock, when I start to get hungry, 3:30, that's what I have, and it tides me over. Okay, protein. And lastly, switch over to some complex carbs. Ladies, I apologize in the back that you may not be able to see this, but this is a balanced meal. This is lean protein from PetSmart. This is a complex carbohydrate. This is also a complex carbohydrate. And in all seriousness, I know it's funny, I have all of my toys from the pet store, but they make the point, right? Your plate ought to look a little balanced like this, 3 times a day. Pick one and work on it for a few months. Then go to another. Find a buddy. Get on it together. Because it's easier to do it when you have a friend that you can pick up the phone and say, what did you have for dinner last night? It's kind of like those commercials, you know, where the girls are in the office. And it really does work. Well, ladies, I'm all out of time. I'm going to come back up here later on and share a little bit more of a journey just doesn't have to do so much with food, but it's on the other side of life. So thank you for your time. I hope you learned something, and I'll see you in a little bit.